Dr. Roger Blackwell is our guest for this next segment on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Dr. Blackwell received his PhD from Northwestern University, which is actually in the town that I was born in. By the way, quick little anecdote, the man that actually founded Northwestern, he's the one who founded the town. It's named after him. His name was Mr. Evans. His goal was to create a Christian school. He wasn't sure whether to create a school of lower learning or of higher learning. He ended up choosing the higher learning, that is, a university. Today, unfortunately, Northwestern no longer retains its Christian roots. However, I will say if you walk around the campus of Northwestern, it looks like you're looking at all kinds of different cathedrals. Anyway, Dr. Blackwell became a professor at Ohio State University. He taught 65,000 students, is believed to be more than any other U.S. professor teaching that many. And he taught the Fisher School of Business and OSU Medical School while writing 39 books on consumer behavior and marketing. His latest book is called You Are Not Alone. Here's a quote from that book. Fame and fortune tempt people to put self on the throne of life, leaving God only what is left. Dr. Blackwell, great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm always glad to be here.
Okay, good. So tell us about this book, You Are Not Alone.
Well, it starts with kind of a miracle.
Before you get into all that, what kind of a book is it? Inspirational, self-help, motivational, personal biographical, autobiographical?
Well, it has several purposes. Evangelism is one of the purposes.
Okay.
And I should put a warning out to people. If you have friends who are atheists, do not give this book to them because it could destroy their faith in atheism. And you wouldn't want that to happen, would you? It was at Northwestern when I really discovered there is a creator God. It created the atmosphere, and I did that by studying Bayesian statistics, of all things. You know, I like apologetics. In fact, Evangelism Explosion by Dr. Kennedy was one of my favorite books. And in it, I talked about some of the thing in this book. I talk about how Bayesian statistics makes it almost impossible to be an atheist, because the chances of the earth being created by itself instead of by God is 1 to the minus 67th power. Now, if you remember your exponents, that's 0.6701. Wow. And the story of how I got there from atheism into Christianity actually occurred at Northwestern. And I talk about how do you learn to get through the difficulties of life, like the pandemic and stuff we're having now. And it's by discovering you're not alone. God goes with you. And started out with a miracle birth in which I was deprived of oxygen for 45 minutes. Oh, wow. And the surgeon who delivered me said, when my father and my grandmother revived me, because I was put up on a shelf for stillborn babies. And the surgeon said, that was a mistake. He'll be so brain damaged, you should have never done that.
Ooh.
Well, I did manage to get a PhD.
Wow.
Even though I was brain damaged.
Wow.
Now, the interesting thing is God is, and you learn this if you go to prison, God doesn't always break down the doors like the cops do and kick it in and come on in, but he invites himself in. And the book ends with a chapter with the prayer that Billy Graham made famous around the world of inviting people to become a Christian. So if you have somebody who's on the Engle scale, I don't know whether you know about Wheaton College, and James Engle was the first professor.
That was one of my professors. I went to Wheaton Graduate School, met my wife to be there.
Oh, well, this book is about Jim Engle.
Oh, wow.
And
Engle is spelled E-N-G-E-L. That's fascinating. I haven't heard his name in a while.
Well, Jim Engle was the reason I went to Ohio State from Northwestern, and then he left Ohio State to become the first Billy Graham professor at Wheaton. And in fact, I was there for the dedication of the Billy Graham
I was
Center,
too.
and sat at the table with Billy Graham. So we might have met back then.
I wasn't at the table with Billy Graham, believe me. Hey, by the way, I've got a question for you. You use that word or this phrase, Bayesian statistics. How do you spell that, Bayesian?
It's B-A-Y-E-S, Bayesian.
B-A-Y-E-S.
E-S. Reverend Bayes, he was a minister, but he was a mathematician. And he discovered, how do you determine the probability of something happening that's never happened before?
Oh, I
now,
see.
Now, in marketing...
Okay. Yeah.
In marketing, that's one of the biggest topics in marketing today is Bayesian statistics. Because when you introduce a new product, you have to determine the probability of it being successful, even though it's never been sold before. Well, Reverend Bayes pioneered how to calculate the probability that the Earth created itself rather than being created by God. And that's what I learned by studying the Bible. And actually, my professor was there who had his PhD in systematic theology, Millard Erickson. Some of your listeners might know that name. He wrote the leading textbook on Christian systematic theology.
Wow.
And taught a Bible study. And I studied how the Bible really, really is accurate. Now, I had become a Christian years before I went to prison. But in prison... I know that with Christmas fresh in the memory of people, you might think about, how do you go through prison after you've been a life of abundance and honor and 65,000 students, and then you go to prison? And I describe in the book how that happened, kind of because I didn't agree with the government on certain things. There's a song that says, "I fought the law and the law won." Well, that's what happened.
Wait. You're saying that you went to prison, not for prison ministry. You went to prison because you were arrested and convicted and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I went there for 6 years. I was convicted. I got sentenced to $1 million fine.
Whoa.
The judge said there were no victims, so I can't give any restitution, but I want this to be a lesson to other people. And so I'm going to fine him $1 million, which with accumulated interest was $1.3 million. My legal fees were millions and millions of dollars, and so I went to prison. And I really thought when I got out of Northwestern that God was calling me to be a missionary. But my career was just starting, and I said no to God, basically. Well, on my morning that I was going into prison, I sort of said to God, okay, I guess you said wait 40 years and then do your mission work. So I spent 6 years on the mission field in prison as an inmate teaching GED students. And my first Christmas, it was so sad. It's very sad for people in prison at Christmas. And I was sitting in the quiet room where you can go and read and there's nobody else around. And I got a knock on the door and a couple of guys came in and said, "Hey, Blackwell, we got a guy who wants to be a Christian. We know you're a Christian. Can you tell him how to do this?" So the gift that God gave to me on my first Christmas in prison was, okay, you're sure you want to know how to become a Christian? Well, here's how you do it. It's kind of, I call it the four spiritual laws, and which I learned from a guy by the name of Bill Bright. And on Christmas Eve, my first night in Christmas, he prayed with me to receive Christ, as hundreds of other people did while I was in prison. It's the most fertile prison, a fertile field for missions probably of any place is prison. And that's what I talk about there. Now, I also, you know, I know Dr. Kennedy was attacked on, I think it was December 28th, with a severe ventricular tachyarrhythmia.
Right, right.
I had the same thing in prison, and I tell this story. In the back of the book actually uses that as an excerpt. I was getting close to getting out of prison, and after 6 years, almost 6 years, and I collapsed. And there are 1,400 men in the prison I was in. And one of them, I collapsed right in front of him. He was the only inmate in there that was a former emergency room doctor.
Wow.
He took my pulse. It was over 200. And he said, we got to, and he literally carried me because I had collapsed in front of him and took me to the health service, which was closing at 7 p.m. And this was just a little before that. And the nurse was leaving and he yelled to the nurse and the nurse came over and the nurse said, we got to get this guy to the hospital right now. And so the emergency room doctor, who was an inmate, and the nurse got me by squad to the hospital. What is the coincidence of having to collapse because of the same thing that happened to Dr. Kennedy,
wow,
a ventricle tachyarrhythmia, and you're in the arms of an emergency room doctor who's an inmate, the only one in the whole prison? Those are the kinds of things that convinced me I was not alone in prison or in my berth where I was without oxygen for 45 minutes or on a train ride on the Chicago and Northwestern Railroad between Lake Bluff and Evanston, which I commuted to every day to school. And then when I got out of prison, most people don't realize perhaps that a felony conviction is a conviction for life. It never ends. And so I couldn't go back to teaching at Ohio State. One school invited me to come back and lecture. Can you guess what school that was? A Christian school that you just mentioned their name earlier.
Wheaton?
Called Wheaton, yes. And these are the kinds of things that convince me I'm not alone in this life. God had a plan for me. Now, if he had put the whole plan out and said, okay, Blackwell, you're going to be a successful professor and earn a lot of money because I was on boards of directors. That's what caused me to go to prison. You want to do this plan? I might have said, no, I don't think so. But that's not the way God shows us his plan. When we say yes, he shows us the next step. And a lot of people today are probably a little desperate about being isolated and everything. I think this book would be encouraging to them. It's called You Are Not Alone. And I have it described on my website, which is RogerBlackwellBusiness.com, along with, as you said, the other 39 books that came beforehand, which were primarily books about my career in radio broadcasting. And I started out as a janitor of a radio station and ended up as a chief engineer 5 years later. And so I love radio. I love apologetics. And I love learning. And what I learned in prison is, up until that time, I had defended God. In prison, I really learned to depend on God. And there's a big difference between those two.
Huh. Interesting. By the way, what's the moral of the story in terms of why you went to prison in the first place? I mean, you said that the judge wanted to make an example of you. Had you stolen money? I mean, what did you do that caused this?
We
have about a minute left.
The person who worked for me bought stock in a company when I was on the public board. 6,000 other people did exactly the same thing she did. She had no information for me or anything, but the judge said, well, she worked for you. And the prosecutor really basically said to the jury, if she'd been one of your students and worked for you for 5 years, wouldn't you have told her about this, that she could have made money by buying it? There was no evidence, and she testified, no, he didn't tell me anything. So she went to prison for 27 months, her husband, because they bought it in their IRA, for 24 months, and I went to prison for 72 months.
My goodness. So basically it's like alleged insider trading.
It was insider trading was the conviction, and what the jury was not allowed to know that 6,000 other people did exactly the same thing my secretary did because the stock had fallen to about half of its value, and that's why she bought it, and 6,000 other people did. And when the judge found out that my attorneys were going to show that the others did, he cut it off right there. And that's a whole other story. But,
yeah.
But I don't tell that story in the book so much.
Sure. But your book, though, is very positive. Again, the book is called You Are Not Alone. You can get more information of this at Roger's website, which is RogerBlackwellBusiness.com. Dr. Blackwell, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And that the book has the 10 rules for a successful life.
Okay.
That I learned through all these experiences, and they're also on my website too.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.